are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you once again on this Thursday edition of the show. My guest today is Dylan DeSimone of 4thandnine.com, also the co-host of the Cover 4 podcast with Eric Crocker. Always fun to talk to Dylan. If you remember our live draft shows, Dylan, Eric, and myself live in San Francisco breaking down the draft as it happened. That was a lot of fun. We need to do that again. Dylan's a good dude, always fun to talk ball with, so we'll bring him on momentarily. I do want to remind everybody to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, everywhere that you can find podcasts. You can find Locked On 49ers and all the podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. Follow me on Twitter at BDPeacock. You can email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And Friday will be our weekly wink episode. We'll be doing a little mailbag there, so hit me up on Twitter or email if you want to drop a question in for our mailbag segment. Going to take a look at the Wednesday injury report for the 49ers. Also, the 49ers have a new quarterback. Then we'll bring on Dylan, and I think a lot of what we're going to talk about is Solomon Thomas and Mike McGlinchey and how their careers are going. Very different career paths so far for those two first-round picks for the 49ers. Tom Savage, the newest 49ers quarterback. He, according to Kyle Shanahan, was not signed to take over for C.J. Beathard and not even for Nick Mullins. He's actually going to be the third quarterback on the roster, which is a little bit surprising considering all the injuries and all the roster spots the 49ers need. Usually, the idea is you keep two quarterbacks on the 53-man roster. One guy is on the practice squad. Maybe once Tom Savage is up to speed, they will move Nick Mullins back to the practice squad. But as of now, it looks like they're going to carry three. Tom Savage is going to be the third quarterback and probably inactive for a while until he gets up to speed on Kyle Shanahan's offense. But Tom Savage was part of the 2014 draft class, the same draft class that brought us Jimmy Garoppolo. He played most of his career in Houston. I think he has spent a little bit of time with the Saints, but didn't catch on. He's a veteran quarterback, 9 career starts, but not somebody to really get super excited about, 57% career passer, and someone I didn't really like a lot coming out of college. He has more NFL interceptions, 7, than he has touchdowns with 5, and so just a veteran guy. Just, I think, more than anything, he's insurance for C.J. Beathard, who has a penchant to play tough, take hits, and potentially get injured. So if he does go down, the 49ers need a couple of quarterbacks. And right now, it looks like Tom Savage is going to be the number 3 guy. Nick Mullins will remain the number 2 quarterback, backing up C.J. Beathard the rest of the way. Savage is a strong-armed guy, but really hasn't had a lot of success in the NFL and is more of just a 28-year-old veteran backup quarterback, somebody for depth purposes mostly. So nothing for 49ers fans to get super excited about with Tom Savage. But he is a Nick Cage lookalike. He looks a lot like a budget Nicolas Cage. So that will probably be fun if he ever gets in there, and we'll start seeing a lot of memes about Tom Savage and his doppelganger, Nicolas Cage. And the window has opened up for rookie 6th-round pick safety Marcel Harris out of Florida, who has yet to take a snap in either a preseason or regular season game for the 49ers. He's been on IR. He has been designated to return. His practice window has opened, so he has to either go back on IR for the rest of the season or be activated by November 7th. So the 49ers could get some depth at strong safety back behind Jaquaski Tartt and potentially seeing another rookie this year, 6th-round pick Marcel Harris. And if you remember Kentavious Street, the 4th-round defensive end out of NC State, he's on IR. He had a torn ACL. He's going to be out for the whole year, potentially see him next year. So let's take a look at the 49ers injury report really quick, and it's an improvement over last week. Only 16 players on the injury report compared to 17 last week. Matt Breida was a limited participant, so looking good for him to play once again. And it is a short week, so that is usually a detriment to getting guys ready. I think the extra day last week on the long week, having a Monday Night Football game, helped the cause for Matt Breida and allowed him to play. But he's limited, and he played last week and looked pretty good in his 14 carries, so he should be ready to go this week. The players that did not participate, Pierre Garçon, still dealing with a shoulder and knee injury. Usually guys start the week slow and then start practicing more and more, so it's not surprising to see somebody hurt who is a veteran, to get a day off. Joe Staley also didn't practice. He doesn't practice on Wednesdays usually anyways, so that's nothing to worry about there. Mike Person, he'll be playing on Sunday, I'm sure. He's also taking a rest day from practice with his knee injury. Jimmy Ward, who left the game last week with a hamstring injury, not participating in practice so far this week. Kaywan Williams and Akella Witherspoon, a couple of other cornerbacks for the 49ers, also not participating in practice. And the last one who did not participate is center Weston Richburg. So a lot of banged up guys in the secondary, some cover guys, and a lot of banged up offensive linemen. A lot of these players are going to play. The question I think I have is probably with all the defensive backs, Ward, Williams, and Witherspoon, and see how they progress during the week. Ward, it's a hamstring injury. Kaywan Williams dealing with the shoulder, and Akella Witherspoon apparently came down with a concussion. He didn't even play much last week, but he got a concussion on the game-winning field goal, apparently, which is he only had a couple of special team snaps, and man, a disappointing season for some 2017 draft picks for the 49ers. Akella Witherspoon won. Solomon Thomas only logged 26 snaps. He's the other disappointing guy so far for the 49ers, not earning any more playing time. He's just basically been a base down defensive end. So we're going to talk a lot about that with Dylan DeSimone coming up. Are you trying to get to the game this weekend? Well, Vivid Seats is the place to go if you're looking for tickets. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that will last a lifetime. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more. Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience. And of course, there's a special offer for Locked On 49ers listeners. With the podcast code Locked On, listeners can receive $20 off orders of $200 or more if they are our first-time customer of Vivid Seats. So go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Enter promo code LOCKEDON to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee, from the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater tickets and more. Vivid Seats has it all. So download the app, put in promo code Locked On for that $20 off orders of $200 or more for new customers. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to the game. Okay, my guest today on Locked On 49ers is Dylan DeSimone. You remember him from the show. Always fun to talk to Dylan. We did the live draft stuff, which was really cool, and I think we might be able to get together and do some live Facebook videos and some other things coming up. But always great to talk 49ers with Dylan DeSimone. Dylan, thanks for joining the show again.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me back, Brian.
So multiple things I want to talk about. We've been talking on Twitter about a few things. I know Mike McGlinchey has been a big bright spot, and you broke down some stuff that he's been doing. And on the other side of that, Solomon Thomas, I really want to talk about, because I think we both are in agreement that the 49ers are just using him wrong. And for a number three overall pick to be playing 26 snaps is kind of unacceptable. So I want to get into some of that stuff. But another thing you mentioned on Twitter, I want to start here, is that you sort of took a little, maybe not a break from the 49ers, but I think you distanced yourself from the season for a bit after things started to go south post Jimmy Garoppolo. And tell me a little bit about that and where you're at with the 49ers and how in tune you are with the team and why you were like maybe just at arm's length for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I more or less just kind of ducked out for a breather. You know, there's 31 other teams, and Twitter was, yeah, it was just kind of a garbage pail out there. And it was, you know, I just kind of wanted to let everything kind of calm down. A buddy of mine had actually reached out on a Saturday night, and he had an extra he's a season ticket holder for the Raiders, and he had an extra ticket for me. And that was Baker Mayfield's first start for the Browns. That was that overtime game. That was a lot of fun. So went to that. That was around the same time. Missed all the other games. Missed the Niners game. Next weekend, went to Portland. So I had a little vacation, but it was actually just kind of a nice the way the timing worked out for everything was just kind of really good. And I wanted to come back when the team had been without Garoppolo for a couple weeks, to kind of evaluate, you know, people were more settled in and used to having Beathard behind center. And, you know, the volatility levels, I guess I just kind of wanted to go down before I re-engaged on Twitter.
No, I know. It's just a flood of, like, sadness and anger. And when sports fans, and it's not a 49ers fan thing, when sports fans get angry and they have to vent somewhere. And when it goes to Twitter, it's just like anger everywhere. Everyone's trash. The GM is trash. The coach is trash. The players are trash. The league is garbage. And just it's just madness. And so I could see how maybe just clearing your head a little bit, not reading every tweet, could be kind of therapeutic.
Yeah, and then, you know, watching the other teams gives you perspective too. I mean, watching watching the Raiders up close and the Browns.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, watch the only team worse than the 49ers in the league. You're like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. It was good. It led some perspective on, you know, the coach and the GM and the quarterback and, you know, just how they've been doing in the draft, the assets they have, how they evaluate talent. And it was funny, you know, the stadium issue with, you know, the Raiders are going to be pulled away from here. And I think a lot of people are really upset about that, rightfully so. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's really a lot to feel good about with the Niners, despite how the season has gone. They got unlucky. It wasn't like this was some kind of mishap by, you know, Shanahan and Lynch. Like, we all saw that injury, man. You know, Garoppolo tried to make a play. Things didn't go well. That stuff happens, you know, like luck plays into sports all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're asking for Super Bowl predictions before the season, I guess I'm just going to start saying the healthy team versus the second healthiest team.
The healthy team that holds on to the ball and doesn't turn it over as much.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think depth is obviously an issue. And it's something I talked about in the offseason when people got really excited about the 49ers. And I tried to remind my listeners that it's still year two of a complete gut job rebuild. So depth is an issue, and they still haven't found stud players necessarily at every position. So they're still building the roster. Last year, they pulled off a huge trade that sort of accelerated things when they traded for Jimmy Garoppolo. I think there's maybe some potential out there for trades. You mentioned the Raiders and how things are going with their season under Jon Gruden, who's kind of pulled the rug out of Oakland Raiders fans, and it looks like they just have sights on Los Angeles. Amari Cooper is the latest name that's been thrown out there, and I thought that was a really interesting name for the 49ers, if they would be able to add a player like that. And it's not clear if the Raiders want to deal with the 49ers, because John Lynch was on record saying that he offered something similar to what the Bears did for Khalil Mack, and I don't know if the Raiders thought the Bears were going to be worse and get a better draft pick out of it, or they didn't want to send someone like Khalil Mack across the bay. But what do you think about Amari Cooper potentially being a trade target for the 49ers?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, Brian. I know you've actually asked the question a couple times. I haven't said anything like affirmative, because I don't know where Amari's at. I mean, I saw the head injury that he just incurred. That looked pretty bad. I know he's been banged up and gets injured here and there. So I look at him as a receiver that's got some mileage. I look at him as a real talent, and I love him because he's kind of like as a number one, and for Shanahan, I mean, he can run. He's a good route runner. So, like, I do think that Shanahan will really like that about him. And he is the kind of number one. Like, if you were to add Amari to this roster, he immediately clicks as, well, he should be playing where Pierre Garçon's playing and not really being as productive, right?
Right.
The compliment to Marquise Goodwin. So I see the fit in that aspect. But I think that the 49ers are really good at finding receivers. So, like, if they were to trade for somebody, you know, it would have been nice if they could have done it for Khalil Mack, because it was like, who's that player that you haven't been able to get in the draft or free agency? Like, then you make that aggressive move for that. I'm not totally unsure that they can't get, like, a fresh talent, a homegrown talent in the draft for, you know, less than what the Raiders might want for Amari Cooper, because, you know, we don't know if Jon Gruden wants to trade him across the bay, like you said, and at what cost. I mean, we saw asking a first rounder. I mean, that's not even.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No. I mean, that's comical. So I think, you know, especially with where they, you know, they just invested a second round pick in Dante Pettis, more than that, because they traded up for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if that's, you know, the team that does it. I'm not sure the 49ers, you know, they'll do their due diligence, but if I were to guess, I feel like he would wind up with like a team like the Colts or something like that. Another team that's a little more, say, desperate.
The thing that interests me the most about Amari Cooper is, like you mentioned, they're not going to get a first round pick or anything like that for him, but it's also a perfect buy low opportunity, because he is a player, like you mentioned, who could be a long-term number one. And he's got the things that Shanahan loves. And that way you wouldn't have to spend a super high pick on a wide receiver. You'd get a guy who's young. I mentioned it on Twitter. He's only 24?
24, yeah.
Turning 25, maybe. I think he maybe won't turn 25 until the summer. He's a year younger than Cooper Kupp, who's been in the league. He's been in the league twice as long as him. So it's crazy how young he still is. And he's got a case of the dropsies, I think, that have hurt him. And the fact that they'd be willing to move on from him, it would just be one of those things to check a long-term potential piece off for the 49ers, and you wouldn't have to spend the capital that it would take to usually get that kind of a talent. And the fact that he fits some things that the 49ers need and that Kyle Shanahan likes. He's got the long speed, he's got the short area speed, he can run good routes, and he's got a little bit of size, so he would really fit what the 49ers could need long-term without them needing to go up and draft another player high, like they already spent a lot of draft capital on Dante Pettis. Then you start to look at a depth chart with Amari Cooper and Marquise Goodwin and Dante Pettis and then Richie James and Kendrick Bourne mixing in there, and you start to see the formings of a long-term, really solid wide receiving core. So that's why the name Amari Cooper interests me. Not that I think it's super likely that the 49ers and Raiders could come to an agreement and make a trade, but I thought that was interesting, and I even threw it out on Twitter just to see what people would think, just in a completely, you know, fantasy world hypothetical of trading Solomon Thomas and a third-round pick for Amari Cooper. And it was funny seeing the responses to that. It's always funny to see responses to some of that kind of stuff, but it was really split. People are like, are you crazy? No way. We got to see more from Solomon Thomas, waste of a number three overall pick. And then some people were like, yes, in a heartbeat, let's go, let's do it. And then of course there were the people who were like, well, let's just send him our scraps and get our Amari Cooper. And it's like, I don't think that's going to work either. So just some interesting hypotheticals there.
Yeah, no, I had seen that too. And I think it's definitely interesting. If you were to make a short list of teams that makes sense for Amari Cooper, I think the 49ers are definitely on that list.
Right. The 49ers, maybe the Cowboys, like you mentioned, the Colts, some teams that have needs at wide receiver. And so that would be just, you know, just an interesting name out there. And if the Raiders are going to have a fire sale, it'd be nice. And because the 49ers have been involved in all the good players. So I got to believe if someone like that is available, the 49ers are at least making contact.
Yeah, I would believe so. But you just, you know, you never really know until the deadline. Then there was, you know, there was a bunch of other names on there like Shane Ray, Dante Fowler, Amir Abdullah, some other guys that have just fallen out of favor with their current teams that might be on the trade market. Maybe some more low key signings that won't or trades that might not cost as much based on how they've bargain shopped a little bit. I think that would be more up their alley.
Amir Abdullah, I don't know how he's not already on the 49ers with the Martin Mayhew connection to the Lions, and that he's not even active on game day for the Lions. They've got a lot of really good running backs over there, and he would have seemed to be a nice fit for Kyle Shanahan and the offense. I would have thought they would have sent a conditional seventh round pick for him before the season started once the Lions realized they're not going to have this guy active on game day. So I don't know what they're doing with Amir Abdullah.
Yeah, it's a big mystery. I like Abdullah for the record. I mean, I think we've seen him. He's like healthy and on the field. He's just one of those guys that's hard to catch. He's hard to bring down because he's so shifty and fast and agile. And I mean, I think he really fits the system. And I think, you know, what Shanahan could do with him would be able, you know, that fits. Like, he's a weapon that Shanahan would, I think, be excited for.
Absolutely. And he can catch a little bit. He hasn't really had the opportunity to utilize that because they had Theo Riddick over there in Detroit. But yeah, the short area quickness, the toughness for being a smaller back, I think he's an ideal fit for the 49ers to be a rotational guy and run in there. And, you know, with all the injuries they've had at running back, I don't know how that deal hasn't already happened.
Big time. Yeah, they're trotting out Mozart, and they have, you know, Juszczyk is heavily involved right now. I mean, they're still making it work, though. I mean, it's kind of amazing they almost beat the Packers with this crew.
Yeah, they're running for 175 yards with that crew.
Yeah.
So maybe they don't need to add anybody. You mentioned Solomon Thomas there. I want to get into some of that stuff. Dylan DeSimone of 4thandnine.com, my guest today on Locked On 49ers. We will be getting into more stuff, especially I want to end on a good note and talk about a rookie that's playing fantastic for the 49ers in 2018. Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand name clothes? Why do we buy new kids' clothes if they just outgrow them in just a few months? And I'm dealing with that myself right now. It's quite insane how much you spend on this clothes that my little guy is blowing through these clothes weekly. I think he's going to be big, man. I think he might be a draft pick. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Well, there is. Swap.com, the world's largest online consignment, and thrift store. Stop driving to store after store and sifting through racks. Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. So much textile waste goes on. Over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted each year. So shopping secondhand at swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel good about. With swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail price on your favorite brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J. Crew, and Gap. Quality hand-inspected items are added daily. If something doesn't fit, enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. And, of course, a special offer for Locked On 49ers listeners. Get 35% off select items for your first order with promo code Locked On. Again, that's promo code Locked On for 35% off select items on your very first order. Plus, find new deals every day at swap.com. Let's get into Solomon Thomas a little bit. And we both completely are on the same page here about the usage and what blows my mind about Solomon Thomas and what's going on with his career so far for the 49ers is that when they drafted him, they had it right and they knew how they wanted to use him and they wanted him to be the big end. The day they drafted him, they said, we envision him as being the Michael Bennett in this defense, the big end. And anybody who watched the Seahawks knows Michael Bennett, defensive end on run downs, goes inside, rushes the passer as part of a pass rush crew on third downs and passing downs, and then never used him that way. And that blows my mind.
Yeah, there's something that we don't know. I feel like and I don't know why, because it doesn't even seem like it's a huge topic, you know, in the press conferences. I mean, granted, I've been out of the loop a little bit, but I haven't seen any big stories or questions like what's going on with Solomon Thomas. Why is he only getting 26 snaps? I've seen the snaps reported. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing the questions about why they're so low. So I don't know if something's going on. Like, I just feel like there's some information that's not out there. It just doesn't make sense.
Right. It's a great point. It's like you draft a guy number 3 overall, you have a plan for him, then you abandon that plan. You don't use him that way. You use him.
Don't talk about it.
Yeah. And don't talk about it. And you have this guy who's taking 26 snaps out of, what, 60 snaps in a game. He's on the field less than half the time for the 49ers. And a guy who was pulled up off of waivers from the Jaguars, Sheldon Day, is playing more often than him, playing inside. And I understand they have a lot of interior guys. And we talked about this on Twitter as well. I would even use, because I think it would benefit Solomon Thomas more to play inside on passing downs than it would hurt someone like even DeForest Buckner to play outside on passing downs. Because I think Buckner could eat either way. And so with the current talent that you have, maybe you play Buckner at end and then utilize that spot for Solomon Thomas to rush from the inside, because that's what he is. Solomon Thomas is not going to be a guy who runs the arc and gets a bunch of sacks. He wasn't that guy in college. He's not that player. He's an interior rusher on passing downs, yet they're not using him that way. And it's you're right. There's like something we don't know, and I wish someone would ask the question and get an answer, because it doesn't make a lot of sense right now. You're wasting someone who was drafted number 3 overall.
Yeah, and like you were saying about his ability to turn too, and like, I believe in Solomon Thomas, but I remember there was the play against the Packers where he was at end. Rodgers rolls out to his right and then kind of turns back to the left. And that's why I think he threw the deep pass to like Geronimo Allison or something like that. It was uncovered by Jimmy Ward. But you saw Solomon like stop in his tracks and try to turn. And it's like, that's the athleticism for that end. Whoever was supposed to be, you know, in that role Solomon Thomas was playing, needed to be able to just have a little bit more agility. And it just speaks, like, you see this on film, right? How are you not like moving him inside? I just don't understand why the adjustments haven't been happening. You're losing games. Why aren't you experimenting? You have, you know, like you said, you've invested so much capital. I mean, this was their first big investment. I mean, this was their first – it was the number 3 overall pick. Could have been the number 2 overall pick if they hadn't made the trade with Trubisky. So, I mean, they were all in on this guy. And a year later, a calendar year later, they have no plan for him. They have no answer for why they're not using him. And, you know, yeah, he's just getting, like, such low snaps. Now, I'm wondering, are we waiting for, like, next season when Sheldon Day goes to another team or Earl Mitchell goes to another team for Solomon to kick inside? Are you waiting for the edge rusher to get drafted? Do you really think that this is optimal? Because look, Ronald Blair's playing okay on the edge. So You say play Buckner outside. You can play Blair outside. Rotate Marsh. And then you have, like, you have your interior players. You have Day. You have Mitchell. You have Armstead. And you have Solomon Thomas. But, like, just the lack of work he's gotten inside, it's just such a mystery, man. I don't understand it, and I'm going to keep saying I don't understand it until somebody tells me why they're doing it.
And even when we hear why, we may not understand it still, but at least we'll have a reason why and maybe a little more clarity there. One of the weird things is I don't know who is the guy who's either telling the front, like, so is it Robert Saleh who's like, oh, we don't need to add an edge rusher, or was it Kyle Shanahan who's thinking, ah, we need to put assets at wide receiver, trade up for one of those. I need an offensive tackle. I need to get this offensive line set. Or is it Adam Peters and John Lynch? Who was the guy for two straight seasons have said, ah, we don't need an edge guy. Let's just keep bringing in a bunch of the 280-pound defensive linemen.
Yeah, I mean, we were together when this happened, and we were like, you know, we saw Harold Landry in the second round. I like that as a better landing spot than, you know, top 10. Mm-hmm. You know, that would have been great. Even Josh Sweat when they took Kentavious Street, you know, in the, it was a fourth round.
Yeah.
So some weird decisions. I think there's a short answer is I really think that the scouting department, I mean, they plan ahead. It's not just this year, but it's like next year. Like, they know the kids in high school. They know the freshmen, right, true freshmen, the guys that aren't playing yet. So they have like an idea of who's going to be available, the stacked classes coming up. I think they do take that into consideration. And then, you know, that in conjunction with how the board falls on draft day, you know, it leads to them not taking an edge rusher in the last two drafts. And, you know, we can both admit that there was really nothing in free agency. You know, they also might be looking at 2019 free agency. Like, are they going to, you know, I think one of the names that, you know, I've talked about, because I'm not sure how they're going to value, the team is going to value him versus what he's going to want and how a tag situation plays out, is Jadeveon Clowney in Houston. I don't know if they're monitoring that at all. But you know, and then you also can kind of reference the whole 6-year plan. So, you know, take the best players, and, it's not really urgency on any one position, but I think this season in particular, the frustration on Kyle Shanahan's face, like all the time, and, Saleh wanting to protect his job. I think they would, you know, if there was a year that they were going to be like, okay, we're drafting for need, it would be edge rusher. I think it would be this coming offseason after this year.
Yeah, you made a good point about the free agency and how those guys don't see free agency, which is why I've not really talked a lot about Clowney, because I got to believe they're going to throw the franchise tag on him. And probably, we've seen it. Like, none of these great pass rushers make it to free agency, which is why the Khalil Mack thing made so much sense, because it's like, look, you can't draft these guys. You can't sign them. This is the only way to get someone who's such a game changer. And we've seen what he's done for the Bears defense. But the fact that you can't sign these players because they don't hit free agency would have made me think that you would be more urgent in trying to draft and develop some, and they haven't done that either. That's the whole thing that's been... So just with the usage of Solomon Thomas and the lack of trying to find an edge rusher, if they don't like him rushing from the edge, who's in charge and who's making that call? And it's going to be a very interesting offseason to see how they attack that position. If they just draft three of them all of a sudden, I kind of like what the Packers did actually last year. They're like, look, we need an influx of talent at wide receiver, so let's draft three dudes that are all 6'3" plus and can move, and hopefully you hit on some. And it's funny because the guy they drafted first, Jamon Moore, is actually behind both the other guys, Equanimee St. Brown and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. He's actually behind both of them. So it's a good thing they drafted more, because the better guys were the guys they got later. And they drafted two defensive backs as well in Jair Alexander and Josh Jackson. So I kind of like that technique. It's like, let's draft a bunch of guys, and you know for sure you're going to get something out of this after some, you know, after some development and after some competition. So maybe that's what the 49ers will do at the edge position. Maybe get a Sam and a Leo in the draft.
I think they should just go, you know, cornerback and edge, and just go, you know, the whole draft, the whole way through there, you know, because, yeah, you know, the rest you can get in free agency. You know, they can go get one more wide receiver. They can go get, you know, another offensive lineman or off ball linebacker. Right. They need corners and they need edge rushers. And like you said, they just can't, you can't really find those guys. So I think they're destined for one of Joey Bosa or, you know, whoever the number two is, but I'm pretty sure it's a distant number two Nick Bosa. That's looking very possible, especially with the Giants and, you know, the Bills. Well, actually, you don't know what the Bills are going to do, but with the Giants probably going after Justin Herbert or something like that, you know, that discussion is going to get pretty real. The Niners, even if they win just like a couple more games this season, and they're still going to be picking in the top seven. And they should trade up because you can't get a guy like that. And if they were so eager to get Mac, you know, they should even trade up even if they're that close.
Here's what's crazy about that. And Nick Bosa, let's say Nick Bosa is the next Khalil Mack or whatever. Just he's worth the billing, and he's actually left. I don't know if for those of you who haven't seen the headlines there with Nick Bosa, he's had a core injury, and so he's missed some time at Ohio State. So instead of trying to rehab and get back and play maybe one or two more games at the end of the season, he's actually left the college team, and he's just rehabbing now for the NFL draft. So it's the secret's out there. He's definitely declaring for the draft. So Nick Bosa looking like the first non-QB, and a lot will be determined with, because Joey Bosa was really thought of in the same way, and he was sort of really he was really big and weighed in large, but didn't have outstanding workouts as far as athleticism. So I think he went from the top prospect to, he dropped to number three in the draft in 2016? Yeah, 2016.
That was the Buckner
year. The Buckner year, right, and Buckner went seven. And so maybe Nick Bosa, being 6'3", 270 pounds, maybe he's, you know, has shorter arms or doesn't run as well, and maybe he does slip past the top couple of picks. But one thing that's interesting, and viewing the Raiders trade of Mac from this lens, what if the Raiders now, who look like they're looking at a top pick too, what if they end up with a high pick and get Nick Bosa and have multiple other picks that they got from trading Mac? Maybe getting crushed about the Mac thing, maybe it actually turns out to be a great deal for them.
Yeah, that could very well happen too. I guess you just kind of have to count on them continuing to make mistakes under Gruden, which is, it's been trending that way, where it's just like one wrong thing after another. That's really what you'd be counting on. But yeah, that's definitely a real possibility with the direction of that team right now. But, you know, we talk about Solomon and big picture, you know, the multi-year rebuild. To imagine having a defensive line that had Buckner and Thomas, and Thomas inside, you know, finally able to like catch his groove. They just leave him alone there, right? Mm-hmm. Buckner could move inside and outside. And then you have a Bosa outside. I mean, that they'd be real set up for success, especially because you're considering, you know, Warner's the real deal. Him and Foster are going to be really good together. I think Akello's just kind of having a down year, and it's been a little bit. I think he's another player that's been mismanaged. I think they do have the beginning of a good defense here. It's just, man, it's been bad luck, bad injuries, bad fundamentals, and it's just resulted in this record.
Another name to look out for on the free agent market potentially is Dee Ford, who I like to be potentially that Sam linebacker who's an edge rusher on third downs. How about that? And you still draft Bosa because he'd be the Leo. Dee Ford would be the Sam. And with all the guys you just mentioned, imagine that front seven. That'd be something that could be really good for a while for the 49ers.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you on that. Just like you said, just getting a bunch of dudes at that position and then filtering it out, seeing what you get on the other end. You can never really have enough. I mean, you also look at the Eagles model. They have like multiple starting defensive lines over there.
Right.
Like you look at that roster. I forgot at the beginning of the season that they had Haloti Ngata. Like I saw him, I was like, wait, well, he's out there too. I mean, I remember they got Bennett and they had everyone else from the year ago, but you know, that's just, you know, they're coming off a Super Bowl. A big reason is because what they were able to do with that defensive line. I think the 49ers, as much as they've invested in the defensive line with Buckner and Thomas, I still think, yeah, they need that edge rusher, and you got to expect that to come again in free agency and the draft.
Absolutely. Multiple players, Sams, Leos, all the first names, get all the guys out there that can rush the quarterback. So let's end this on a high note. One of the players who's playing fantastic for the 49ers and someone that you definitely can't knock as a draft pick in the top 10 right now is Mike McGlinchey at right tackle. I saw a tweet storm you put out of some of his play. He's been awesome, and especially he's the top run-blocking offensive tackle in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus right now.
Yeah, how about that? You know, he's really good. And, you know, it's the more you read about him, and I think we had talked about this like during the process, the more you read on McGlinchey, the more he was just, he's wired for this role. And, you know, he's been built for this his whole life, all the way back to, you know, before Notre Dame, when he was at Penn Charter in Pennsylvania, just like one of the top football schools, you know, cousins with Matt Ryan. This guy is just, he is a NFL player, and he's playing like a Pro Bowler as a rookie, in a new position for him. And he's just dominating guys. So yeah, the game that I looked at, just to play catch up, was when they played against the Chargers. And, you know, they don't have Bosa right now, but they have Melvin Ingram. And he's had last 3 years double-digit sacks, and then the other year that wasn't double-digit sacks, he still had 8. So you know that he's a good pass rusher. And McGlinchey, from the beginning of the game till the moment that he had to leave with a knee injury, just absolutely owned him and, like, embarrassed him. And it was you know, I think that was a real positive for them, is to have a building block like that, because Staley's getting up there. The guard situation was questionable. To have McGlinchey like this is just, I mean, that's an outstanding pick for them, and they nailed it.
Yeah, and especially when you look at it through that lens of the future and Joe Staley possibly not being around, and having someone who's already developed, ready to go, and have a stud offensive tackle is pretty important. And it was clear they didn't want to sign Trent Brown long-term because he wasn't a fit and can't move around, and that's been really where McGlinchey's hit the ground running as a run blocker, and you see it in the results. The 49ers are running the ball like crazy, no matter who's in there right now. And so that's been fun to see. So good draft pick there, Mike McGlinchey. And sort of like Nick Bosa's got that same thing going on, like you mentioned, where he was an NFL player from the crib. And yeah, like that would be the defensive version of that. So I don't know. And I don't want 49ers fans to get crazy about Nick Bosa, as he's the second coming and he's going to be the savior of everything. And if they don't get him in the draft, all of a sudden everyone will be disappointed and stuff like that. He's a good prospect, but don't freak out over Nick Bosa. Like, there's still a lot to go with the draft and the draft process and seeing how many games the 49ers win and all that. So don't start ordering your Nick Bosa jerseys in 49ers red and gold just yet.
Not yet.
That is Dylan DeSimone of 4thandnine.com, also of the Cover 4 podcast with Eric Crocker, which is always a great listen. Love listening to Crocker talk about DBs. I got to get him on the show as well sometime soon. Dylan, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining me once again.
Thanks, Brian.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. We will be back on Friday with Mr. Nick Winkler, the weekly Wink on Friday. So get those mailbag questions in on Twitter at BD Peacock or email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And I'll talk to you then right here on Locked On 49ers.